Well, good morning. It is so good to see you here this morning and so good to be with you. And what a joyful thing to be able to gather and worship our Lord. What a privilege to be grateful for. What a thing to give thanks for. Amen. So we're coming after Thanksgiving. I'm sure that we've all had opportunity to contemplate, to give thanks, or at least we should. In this time, it's right to take seasons and times to slow down and give contemplation to Thanksgiving, or give contemplation to other elements that draw our attention and focus our hearts more specifically. As I've thought about this, as we've worked through the Thessalonian letter together, there have been many opportunities to speak about giving thanks, as we'll see. But I have delayed focusing on the thanksgiving that Paul gives for this Sunday as we think about Thanksgiving, as we think about this season. And so this morning we're going to be going and focusing in on a gospel-motivated Thanksgiving and thinking together about how to give thanks and for what we give thanks and the context in which we give thanks and how we resolve to give thanks. I apologize to you in advance for those of you that are taking notes in the little book. We have those Bible journals that some of you have gotten for 1 Thessalonians, and I know that we've already exhausted all of your pages in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Today we're going to actually jump around. We're going to look specifically at chapter 5, verse 18, so you're going to have to jump ahead. But trust me, we'll go back there. We'll get there eventually, and we'll spend more time there when we get there again. Spaced repetition is a good thing. But we're going to be looking at a variety of passages this morning from Thessalonians, thinking together about these many ways in which Paul expresses thanksgiving to the Lord and deriving from that help to our own hearts, help to our own thinking in terms of how we allow the gospel to shape our minds, to shape our hearts such that we are filled with gratitude and have a mindset of thanksgiving. So this is what we're doing this morning. As I said, we're going to be looking at kind of chapter 5, verse 18 as a foundational starting point, and then we'll be looking at many other texts in the letter. We could go into 2 Thessalonians. We will a little bit, but we could do even more there because all of Paul's letters are filled with thanksgiving. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 reads simply, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And with that, let's go to him and give thanks and also petition him. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. Lord, we give you glory. You have brought us here. We are here by your doing. You are providentially in control of all things, and you are especially at work in those who belong to you. And Lord, we give credit and glory to you for all of the good in this world. Lord, all things are in your sovereign control, and you use all things for your glory, for the good of your people. And Lord, in all things, we can give thanks. And so even now, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the gathered church. We thank you for the expressions of worship together as we sing, as we pray, as we give. And Lord, even as we look beyond this gathering, as we think about the remainder of this day and into the next week, we thank you for life, for breath, for provision in every way. Lord, you are worthy of all of our thanksgiving. Lord, as we focus our hearts this morning, I pray that you would help us to develop an even greater mindset, an even deeper sense of joy and thankfulness in this world as we think together about what your word says and about the gospel in particular. Lord, we thank you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So our main point for the text this morning is this. Rightly understood, the gospel motivates us to continually give thanks to God, not only for his work in and through us, but in all things. So if we understand the work of the Lord, if we understand particularly his work in the gospel, this understanding will motivate us not just to give thanks occasionally, but to be giving thanks continually and to be thanking him not only for what he has done in us, not only what he has done in through us, but to be thanking him, as Paul says, in everything. And that's where some of the difficulty lies. It's in the giving thanks in everything. But we'll get there in a moment. Let's look at what Paul says, and let's talk together about this gospel-shaped, this gospel-motivated Thanksgiving. So first, let's talk together about the context of Thanksgiving, but the setting, if you will, or the circumstances of Thanksgiving. And so we're going to look particularly at a number of verses that I think will be helpful to us in 1 Thessalonians. We're going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, chapter 2, 13, 3, 19, and then 5, 18. So let's do that. So chapter 1, verse 2, we give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers constantly. And then in chapter 2, 13, Paul says, for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Chapter 3, verse 19, Paul says, for what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all of the joy with which we rejoiced before our God on your account? And then, of course, he concludes his letter toward the end, chapter 5, verse 18, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. But I want you to notice something. As we think about the context of prayer, we need to set a foundation here first before we look at specific contexts or circumstances of prayer. So notice he says, thanks to God. We give thanks to God always for all of you. Or in verse 13, thank God. Or down in chapter 3, 19, thanks to God. Now in chapter 8, or in verse 18, we read, give thanks. And I think, based on everything that Paul has said prior to this point, and everything surrounding it and yet to come in his second letter, we could say what he means is give thanks to God. Right? Give thanks to God. God is the one to whom we give thanks. He is the ultimate context, if you will. We're in his presence, giving thanks to him. He is the circumstance of our giving of thanks and to the one to whom we give thanks. Whatever the context or circumstance of our thanksgiving, it should always be a thanksgiving or giving of thanks to God. So we are grateful. Even when we are grateful for what the Lord has provided through someone else, and you say thank you to that person, you are grateful for whatever. You're grateful for your spouse. You're grateful for your children. You're grateful for your job. You're grateful for all of these things. What we ought to be doing ultimately in our hearts is in the end saying, but I know that all of this is a gift of God. Thank you, God. That my wife is a mediator of God's goodness to me in a sense. She's an instrument of his goodness to me. Praise God for my wife. Now, I can thank her, right? But ultimately, my thanksgiving is to God, and we need to keep this correctly oriented if we are to have a mindset that is rightly giving thanks. God is the object of our thanksgiving, is the point. And if we get askew on that, then it doesn't matter. The context or the reasons or motivations will all be askew. Because ultimately, it is God to whom we give thanks. It is he who works. Thanks to God. Thank God. Thanks to God. Give thanks to God. But notice something else here. He says, always, constantly, in everything. So always, constantly, in everything. And here's the point. Though there are specific contexts and circumstances in which we make it a point to give thanks to God, thanksgiving should be a mindset always and everywhere. So in other words, the context of thanksgiving ought to be everywhere. The context ought to be every circumstance, ought to be all the time. This is, in fact, your life. From sun up to sundown, your life, from birth to death, your life is the context of giving thanks to God. And so as we think about the specific context in which it's right for us to make it a particular point to give thanks to God, we keep these things in the background. We remember that we're giving thanks to God, and we're giving thanks always and everywhere. So with that, let's look at the particular context of prayer that Paul highlights in his letter. First, he highlights giving of thanks in prayer. In prayer. This is a context or a circumstance for giving of thanks. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers constantly. So we give thanks to God in our prayers. Prayer is the context in which Paul finds it extremely important to be giving thanks to God. And this is a repeated idea from Paul, if you look at his letters. So as we look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, he says, I do not cease doing what? Giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. Colossians 1, 3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Or in 2 Timothy 1, 3. I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. Charles Spurgeon once said, why continue on when you can't exhaust? So we could continue on adding examples here, but it would be difficult to exhaust the examples in which thanksgiving is tied to prayer. Paul says, giving thanks in my prayers. That's the context for his giving of thanks. We give thanks praying. I thank God in my prayers. Look, I think that there is a way in which maybe this is, you're saying, well, Kelly, of course, right? But I do think that there is a way, there is a temptation for us as we think about prayer, number one, to be neglectful in prayer at all. And number two, in our prayers, to be so focused on the difficulties of life, to be focused on the things that we're needing, to forget that prayer is a primary context for giving of thanks. And that Paul seems to begin and end his prayers with thanksgiving. His prayers are filled with giving of thanks to God. And I think that if we understand this and appropriate this, this fundamentally shifts the way we pray and how we even think about prayer. And I think it even impacts the mindset of our hearts outside of prayer. So what is the connection to prayer? Why connect thanksgiving to prayer? The Heidelberg Catechism asks the question, why do we pray? Why do we pray? And the answer is, prayer is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. Now, it goes on. There's more to the answer than that, but that's where it begins. Because prayer is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. Prayer is the chief part of thankfulness. Prayer is where thanksgiving, it's the context, the chief context for prayer. A text we can think about together would be Psalm 116:17. To you I offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. Well, when do we call upon the name of the Lord? Certainly there are many contexts in which we do this, but chiefly, is it not in prayer? Chiefly when we come before the Lord, we call upon His name. In fact, many of the Psalms are songs and prayers. And this is the context of the Psalm. It's often prayer. And we are bringing a sacrifice of what? Thanksgiving. I'm coming to you to call on your name, to petition you, but I'm coming with a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Praise God, we no longer need to come with sacrifices of bulls and rams and sheep. We come in the blood of Christ, and we come with a thanksgiving of, or with a sacrifice of thanksgiving based on what Christ has done for us. We come filled with joy, knowing that Christ has satisfied all things on our behalf, and that we have every blessing in the heavenly places from Him, and we are in Him, and we have salvation as a result of His work, and we give thanks. And prayer is a primary context for it. This is true not only because prayer is the primary context in which we give thanks to God, but because prayer itself is an expression of dependence upon God. So I want you to think about this for a moment. When you are praying, and by the way, this is an exhortation for all of us to be thinking about times of prayer. Oftentimes I will have conversations, and I've been in this place myself where someone will say, well, what is your prayer life like? Tell me about your prayer life. Well, you know, I just kind of pray as I go. Now, is there anything wrong with that? Please, pray as you go. But there is something very important and crucial to designating a time where you are focusing your heart and your mind in prayer. And that is a time where the chief thing is a giving of thanks to the Lord. And this is, so we're giving thanks to Him, but when I stop and pray, what am I doing? Even in that, I'm expressing dependence. Even in that, I'm saying, Lord, if any good is to come, it must be by Your hand. If I'm to accomplish any good in this world, if I'm to do what You have called me to do, I need You. And prayer is the chief way in which we come and express that dependence to Him. Right? But I want you to think about this. Acknowledgement of dependence is the fountainhead of thanksgiving. Acknowledgement of dependence is the fountainhead of thanksgiving. We should think differently about this. Think the other way. You will not give thanks if you don't see yourself dependent. Why would you give thanks to someone when they didn't give you anything? You didn't need them. They didn't do anything for you. Thanksgiving, in and of itself, definitionally means I am crediting someone else with something. What? So when we're giving thanks, we're saying, you did something I needed. But if we won't acknowledge our need, then we won't give thanks. Conversely, if we are acknowledging our dependence upon the Lord, oh goodness, you see how this shapes and how it provides this motivation, as we'll see later, for thanksgiving? Your dependence is ultimately found in the hope of the gospel. What does the gospel teach us? It teaches us that God is holy, holy, holy. And it asks the question, who can come into the presence of this holy God? Only those whose hearts are pure and whose hands are clean. Who among us has a perfectly pure heart and clean hands? Who among us has never walked the path of sin? Who among us is worthy of coming into the presence of this holy, holy, holy God? As Paul says in Romans chapter 3, not one. Not one. There are none who are righteous. No, not one. But the gospel tells us that God in His mercy sent His Son into this world on behalf of His people to live in righteousness and to uphold and fulfill the law and to uphold and fulfill all of righteousness on behalf of His people, and then to take this righteous life and to lay it down on behalf of His people and to bear the penalty of their sins, this judgment that should be upon you and me for an eternal separation from God, He took upon Himself and He bore the wrath of God on the cross. We are dependent. You and I are dependent upon that work for all of our lives, for all of our hope. This is the fountainhead of thanksgiving. This is why the gospel motivates thanksgiving, as we'll see. And prayer is the context for it. So we find ourselves in prayer, giving thanks to God for what He has done in the cross. So prayer is the context of thanksgiving, but personal reflection is also a context for thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks, Paul says. In everything, give thanks. Now, we'll come back to this text again a few times, but let's think together about this here in this context as we think about the contexts of prayer. In everything, give thanks. You will not give thanks to God in everything if you are not personally reflecting on God's care for you and cultivating thanksgiving in your heart. That is, if you're not thinking about everything in its context of God's provision for you, then you won't be inclined to give thanks in everything. So our giving of thanks is dependent upon us personally reflecting upon God's care and His grace for me and cultivating that thanksgiving in my heart. Isn't this often what we mean by meditating? When we meditate on our bed at night and we think, what do we think about? Think about God and His wonders. So we read in Psalm 86:12, I give thanks to You, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify Your name forever. Do you see embedded in that is a time of personal reflection? You have David contemplating God's glory, contemplating His work, and giving thanks in his heart. Or as we read in Psalm 103, 102, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Now, I know that the psalmist doesn't specifically say thanks, give thanks here. But you understand that that's what's going on. Bless the Lord. Give thanks to Him. Praise His holy name. Give glory to Him. And what? Forget none of His benefits. Well, how will you not forget those benefits? You must take time to contemplate them, right? Look, we live in a busy culture, don't we? We live in lives full. You get up in the morning and you've got a full day ahead of you, I'm guessing almost every day. You've got a plate that's full, we talk about, right? You're go, 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 go. And it is very easy in this cultural context to wake up in the morning and get going and to go to sleep at night, never having given any thought, never having paused for a moment's time to contemplate the things of the Lord. And I'm chastened by this in my own heart as I often find myself in reflection thinking, you know, that was a great opportunity to give thanks to God, but the moment overtook that opportunity and I didn't even think about it. I'm not suggesting that we ought to shame ourselves in that way, but I am suggesting that we ought to be laboring to find times of personal reflection. We ought to be pausing and meditating upon the works of God. We have to be thinking in our hearts about what He has done, and most in reference to His gospel, so that our hearts might be overflowing with thanksgiving. If we take time to personally reflect upon the grace of Christ and counsel our souls to forget none of His benefits, our hearts will surely be moved to thanksgiving. Our hearts will surely overflow with gratitude if we'll do this. So the context of thanksgiving, prayer, personal reflection, and then our interactions. Interactions or conversations. Now, let's look again at these texts that we looked at. Let's look particularly at verse chapter 1, 2, 2:13, and 3:19, where Paul says, thanks to God, thank God, and thanks to God. But notice what he says here in each of these contexts. We give thanks to God. We thank God. We. So Paul is speaking of himself. He's speaking of Silas. He's speaking of Timothy. He's probably thinking of others when he's saying, we give thanks. So this is there's a togetherness here. There's an element of people in a group thinking together and giving thanks, right? Their shared thanksgiving surely did not occur in a vacuum. It must have been an overflow of many interactions in which they shared the wonders of God together. So when Paul says, we give thanks to you, he's probably referring both to their times of prayer as they pray and give thanks for the Thessalonians, but also as they talk amongst themselves and give thanks to God for the work that he's doing among the Thessalonians. So in other words, they're likely having conversations and interactions with one another laden with thanksgiving. Do you understand? Do you see how this might apply to us? So we give thanks to God in prayer, so that exhorts us to pray and give thanks, right? And we personally reflect and give thanks in our heart, which exhorts us to take time for meditation and for personal reflection upon God's goodness. And here we contemplate and think about the interactions and the conversations that we have in this. This exhorts us to be giving thanks to God in our conversations, to finding way to give glory and think about what He is doing in, among, and through us. Psalm 9:1, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. Tell whom? My friends and my family and whoever's around me. I'm going to tell of all these wonderful things. And surely if I'm telling of His wonders, it's with an attitude of gratefulness in my heart. Thank God. Have you seen what He's done? Isn't it awesome? Thank the Lord. Psalm 66:8, and then 16. Bless our God, O peoples, and sound His praise abroad. And in 16, come and hear all who fear God, and I will tell of what He has done for my soul. Does this characterize your conversations? I'm not suggesting you should characterize your conversations always. It's not as though you can't have a conversation about the Huskers. But is this all you talk about? Or is there a cultivation of joy and thanksgiving in your heart such that it naturally overflows into conversation and interactions. And so you're giving thanks and giving glory to God in your interactions, in that context. If we pray continually with thanksgiving and spend time in grateful personal reflection, our gratitude toward God will naturally overflow into conversations. If I'm praying this way, if I'm reflecting this way, it will surely show up in my conversations in that way, in my interactions with you. We will gladly tell of all his wonders and give thanks. So let's consider something here, though. Let's consider a question. How do you cultivate an environment of thanksgiving? Now, I want to speak to all of us, but I want to single out parents for just a moment, because I know that as you're raising your children, you want nothing more than an environment of gratitude in your home, right? So like when you are going about your business in the house, you want your kids saying, "Mom, thank you. Dad, thank you." Right? And don't you labor for that? Don't you seek to cultivate an environment of gratitude in your home? Well, how will you do that? How will you cultivate an environment of thanksgiving? Or we want an environment of thanksgiving, even as a church, and this chastens me, or chastens Roger and the other elders as we think about how do we lead a church such that we have an environment of thanksgiving here. How do we do this? Well, you give thanks to God in every environment, right? What's the context for prayer? Your life. When do you give him thanks? When you pray, in your personal reflections, in your conversations, all the time, constantly giving him thanks. Someone once said, or I had picked this up from someone who once said, I was having a conversation with students when I was teaching in Africa a number of years ago, and I was challenging them to practice differently in their churches. And one of the students said to me, "But Kelly, we don't have power. We go into these churches and the pastor is, we don't have a place. So how do we bring this up about?" And I said, "You be the change. You be the change. You be the one who lives this way and conducts yourself this way. Mom, Dad, you want your children being grateful? Are you? Have you set that example for them? Or are they following in your steps?" Listen, I'm not wanting to shame anyone. I'm just chastening us here. We all need to hear this. So how do we cultivate an environment of thanksgiving? We give thanks in every environment. So this is the context of thanksgiving. But what's the content of thanksgiving? So what do we give thanks for? What is the content? So let's talk about this together as we think about the content of thanksgiving. First, we give thanks to God for his work in us. We give thanks for God's work in us. As we see in 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 through 5, we give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers constantly. And then he goes on, "Knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also empowered in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction." What was Paul giving thanks for? We give thanks to God. And we're giving thanks to God always for you. What? Knowing God's choice of you. Knowing what God did on your behalf. And not only that, but knowing how the word came to you, and it came to you in power. It came to you in the Holy Spirit. And the Lord brought this word to you, and he did a work in you. Thank God. So Paul is giving thanks to God for the work that the Lord did. Not only in Christ, in what Christ has accomplished on the cross, but in what the Holy Spirit is doing in applying that. And to God the Father for having ordained it. He's giving thanks to God for his work in you, his work in us, his work in the Thessalonian church. Knowing God's choice of you, knowing how the word came to you in power and in the Holy Spirit. Or as we read in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." So who is Paul giving thanks to? God. And why is he giving thanks? because of what the Lord has done in these believers. He looks at them and he says, look, the word came to you. It came in power. It came in the Holy Spirit. And you accepted it. And this has done its work in you, and it's doing his work in you. Thank God for what he has done in you and is what he is doing in you. Do you see what Paul's, the content of his thanksgiving? Yes, really, it says it's the people. But as we began this sermon, we began this message, ultimately it is saying, thank you, God, for the work that you're doing. We need to keep this in the foremost of our minds, otherwise we become man-centered. We become man-centered in our thinking when we ought to be God-centered, God-focused. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord. Why? Because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. Do you see what Paul's giving thanks for? Their salvation, their sanctification, for the work of the Father, for the work of the Son, for the work of the Holy Spirit, in all of that. He is giving thanks for God's work in these believers. Romans 6:17, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. Praise God, you did a work in those believers and they became obedient in the heart. Now look at, why is this so important? Because this corrects us in overly focusing on what we've done. This corrects us and turns our hearts away from our responses and our labors and our work and refocuses and reorients our heart to what God has done. And it brings us back to our dependence upon Him. It brings us back to say, I got nothing, Lord. It's because of you. It's your grace in my life that I've responded this way. It's your grace in my life that I'm responding this way. And that gratitude will shape the way you interact with other people. It will chasten us against the kind of condescension and the kind of arrogance and the kind of bantering that takes place amongst people who are arguing and bickering with one another. I would argue with you or contend that you cannot argue or bicker if your heart is filled with gratitude. Gratefulness and anger don't go together. They're like oil and water. When my heart is understood, when I'm understanding in my heart that God's work of salvation and sanctification is His work, and in my heart I'm giving thanks for what He's done in me and what He's doing in you, how would that result in me being arrogant toward you? It'll correct me. It'll humble me and turn me away from arrogance. The chief part of our thanksgiving to God ought to be expressions of deep gratitude for the manifestations of His grace in our lives and in the lives of others. This is, I think, as we think about God's work and giving Him thanks, it starts here. Lord, look what you have done in me and in your people. Aren't you amazing? And oh, thank you. Consider, the content of our thanksgiving should instruct us as the content of our prayers. Right? What I give thanks for indicates what I ought to ask for. Are you following? If I'm saying thank you for this, then that instructs me about what I say, Lord, give me this. So, as we think about this, for what do you pray? This might say something about for what you give thanks. If you are focused in your prayers about the temporal goods of this world, if you are focused in your prayers about all of the things that you want to see changed in your life, if you are focused on how you don't have material possessions or health or whatever it is, if that's the focus of your prayer, look, I'm not saying we don't pray for those things, but if my mindset is on those things, if that's what I'm praying for, then what happens when the Lord chooses not to give them to me? Will I not be tempted to ingratitude? Will I not be tempted to frustration? Lord, why are you not giving me? But when my heart is oriented toward the things that He has promised to give, that He has given me a salvation that he has promised me an inheritance that is imperishable and that will not fade away and that is reserved for me in heaven and that is guaranteed because of the work of Christ, and I'm praying for manifestations of that in my life, will I not give thanks because that's guaranteed and I know he'll do it? When I'm praying for his sanctification in my life and praying for his sanctification in your life, and I'm trusting he's at work to bring about growth, and I can see that change taking place because it does over time, I give thanks to him. But when I'm praying for a job and the job doesn't come, look, you should pray for your jobs. You should pray for these things. But that ought to be the ultimate prayer. That ought to be the focus of your heart. You ought to say, Lord, give me this job. I'd really love to have that job, but what I'm more interested in is your sanctifying work in my life. And so, Lord, if you choose not to give me this job and bring about growth in my life, praise you. Thank you, because that's ultimately what I want. And if we pray this way, it'll shape the way we give thanks. So we pray for God's work in us. We give thanks to God for God's work through us. We give thanks to his work through us. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers constantly, bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. As I think about the work that you've done, as I think about your labor and your toil and the way that you've loved one another and the way that you have proclaimed the gospel, as he goes on and says, for the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith has gone forth. What is Paul giving thanks for? God's work through them. He's looking at them and saying, Lord, you've used these people. You've done a great work through them. Praise you. Thank you. And this orients our minds away from even us personally and us corporately and gets our minds looking outwardly at a world that's lost and getting us thinking about how we pray for and plead for God to bring the gospel, to sound it forth everywhere, because we want to give praise to God and thank him for his work through us. Now, he is using us. He is using you. Give him thanks. He is at work. Praise God. This is what we ought to give him thanks for his work through us. Romans 1:8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. I am so grateful because the Lord is using you to expand or to expound the gospel throughout the whole known world. Or in 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. Lord, I praise you that you are using me to manifest the sweet aroma of Christ wherever I go as you triumph in my life. Or as we read in 2 Corinthians 9:12 through 15, as Paul thinks about this gift of mercy expressed by the Corinthians and other churches to those in need, and he says, for the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through what? Many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now, is this indescribable gift, does Paul have in mind the financial gift that they were collecting? Or does he have in mind a gift far beyond that that monetary gift? He has in mind what he's giving thanks for is the proof of the gospel, the manifestation of the glory of Christ seen in these people as they do what God has called them to do. As they give generously out of their hearts and seek to love their neighbor by meeting their needs, Paul is saying, thank you, Lord, for working through them to bring glory to your name. When we consider the purpose for which God has created and called us, we ought to be moved to deep gratitude that he has chosen to use us at all. And we ought to give thanks for the work he chooses to do through us. I think it's helpful for us to pause and think about how great a mercy it is for God to take us and use us in any way. You understand what the scriptures say about us. And you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you formerly walked in the course of this world. You were sons of disobedience and children of wrath. While you were enemies. This is our condition. There are none who are righteous, no, not one. There are none who do good. There are none who seek the Lord. This is all His work. And it is His amazing mercy that He would take sinners, that He would take enemies, and that in mercy would say, I'm going to use you. Not only am I going to redeem you and save you, I'm going to give you a task to do. I'm going to give you a purpose to fulfill. I'm going to entrust you as an ambassador of the gospel in this world. What an amazing mercy. And this ought to fill our hearts with great thankfulness and humility. And we ought to be praying for these things. Lord God, use us. Please use us to bring about your glory and the manifestations of your grace. Help us to sound forth the gospel. So, the content of our prayer for God works, for God's work in us, for God's work through us, and everything. And everything. Now, we need to qualify this because Paul actually doesn't say, give thanks for everything. He says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything give thanks is what he says. And let's focus specifically at one word, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. There are many trials and evils for which we ought not give thanks. But in these trials and amid these evils, we always ought to give thanks. Or if you want to say this in another way, we do not give thanks for everything, but in everything there is always content for thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks. This requires faith. This requires that I believe that God is sovereignly in control of all things. Nothing is outside of His hand. And this requires that I believe God is good and wise, and He doesn't make any mistakes. So no matter the circumstance, no matter what I'm in, no matter the hardship or the trial, I can give thanks to God knowing that He is sovereignly in control and that He is faithfully discharging His grace, and He is a God of mercy and a God of goodness and kindness, and He's at work to do something here. Praise God. Now, I don't give thanks for the evil, but I give thanks in it. And this really chastens us. For this is God's will for you. This is what God desires of us. And this is what's often really hard. This is where the proverbial rubber meets the road with our faith. Let's lean into that last thought as we think about the final point this morning, the commitment of thanksgiving. Because giving thanks in everything is going to require of us a commitment. It's going to require of us a different way of thinking and obedience. So he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. That word give thanks is an imperative. It's a command. So Paul is issuing an order. He's giving a command here. In everything, give thanks. So let me put this in a different light. This is not an option for you, for us. In other words, he's saying, hey, if you think about it, it sounds good to you. If you think that it might be a good idea, yeah, then give thanks. It's not what he's saying. He's issuing an order. Give thanks. And we ought to think of this as a command. Give thanks. But as we think about this as a command, as we think about the commitment of thanksgiving, we should first think about the motivation. What is our motivation for giving thanks? Thankfully, Paul doesn't leave us without instruction here. Give thanks. And I think he says two things here. Give thanks, for this is God's will for you. In other words, it is God's desire. His will of command to you that you give thanks. The Lord Himself, as we saw last week, when we receive His Word for what it is, the Word of God, this is God speaking to us. This is God speaking to you saying, give thanks. And this is my will for you. This is my desire for you. Now, there is a way in which it is right to obey because this is the right thing to do. So, children, it is right to obey your parents when they exhort you to obey. It is right for you, even over against the way you feel about it, or even over against whether you think it's a good idea or not. There is a rightness to you saying, yes, God has put my parent over me, I'm going to obey. How much more so is this true of us when it comes to the Lord? There are times when my heart says, I don't know. There are times when my heart says, oh, and it is right for me to chasten my heart and to obey. But ultimately, the motivation ought to be greater and deeper than that. Because if that's as far as we get in this motivation, then we won't obey in the end. Because the motivation is off base. If we belong to God and understand His grace toward us, our hearts will greatly desire to please Him in all things. You see, the gospel changes everything. We sing that, right? The gospel brings this message of hope, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, He uses that gospel to transform a life, to wake it up, to bring it to life, whereby we can legitimately say we are children of God. We belong to Him. And we can say, oh Lord God, You've given me every blessing in the heavenly places. I'm Yours. You've preserved for me an inheritance. You've rescued me. You've saved me. My heart is overflowing with gratitude. Tell me, what do You want me to do? I'll do it. That's the motivation that we ought to be striving for. A motivation rooted and grounded in a gospel understanding. Not simply a dutiful, okay, I will. Again, there are times when we must do that. But we ought to be laboring in our hearts to cultivate a gospel understanding such that I'm saying, oh, Lord, thank You for telling me this. I am so excited to obey You. Because there's nothing more I want to do in my heart than to please You, the one who saved me. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And here's the other portion, I think, the other instruction. In Christ Jesus. Our reason and motivation to give thanks to God in everything is found in Christ Jesus. That is, in our identity in Him and in our consideration of His person and His work on our behalf. And really, this is just another way of saying what we just did in terms of what ought to motivate us. Lord, I am in Christ, and it is because of Christ that I am who I am. It is in Christ that everything is upheld and everything is done. And as I consider Him, and as I consider what He's done, my heart overflows with thanksgiving and a desire to please Him in all things. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Wretched man that I am, who is going to set me free? Who has set me free from this body of death? I'm in it now, but there's coming a day when I'll be totally free from it. The power of sin is broken now, but one day there won't even be any presence of it. Who is going to set me free? Who has set me free? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is our motivation. This is Paul's motivation, and this is every believer's motivation. So our commitment to thanksgiving begins with an understanding of our motivation. But it's also our determination. It's a determination. This is a command, remember, give thanks. The Lord is issuing an order to you. He's speaking to you and saying, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. As a command, this will require that we determine within ourselves in advance to give thanks. In advance of everything. In advance of all circumstances. I wake up and I resolve in my heart to say, Lord, today I give You thanks. No matter what comes my way, I'm resolving in my heart. I'm making a determination within my soul. I'm determining in my heart to say, thank You in all things. This requires us to do this in advance. If we're not contemplating, if we come back to the context of Thanksgiving, if we're not meditating upon the goodness, if we're not praying in Thanksgiving, if we're not having conversations about Thanksgiving, then we're going to be caught flat-footed when suffering and difficulty comes into our lives. And we're going to be tempted to be frustrated. Have you ever been frustrated by the circumstances of your life? Yeah, like 5 minutes ago, right? Yesterday. You understand what's happening? And look, I'm speaking to me here. What's happening? We're being caught flat-footed. We're being caught unprepared to say, Lord God, thank you even in this. When the days were approaching for his ascension, that is Jesus' ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. What created that determination? He had decided in advance, I am going to obey the Father. He sent me for a work to do. And ultimately, this was rooted and grounded in Jesus' understanding of who the Father is and his gratitude and his faith in him. 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. What will keep me from pandering? What will keep me from giving in to the cultural pressures to say something else? A determination in my heart. A willingness to say, the Lord has commanded me. I'm deciding in my heart in advance, I won't do that. Or I will do that. Given the brokenness of this world and the inevitability of trial, Thanksgiving and everything will require our predetermination of faith in Christ and in Christ's faithfulness in all things. If we're going to give thanks in all things, this will require of us a predetermined faith. Lord, I believe. I believe that you are in control of all things and you are faithful in all things. So I am determining now in advance when trial comes, I will give thanks to you. So here's some things to contemplate as we wrap this up. We are called to cultivate thanksgiving. So we're called to cultivate thanksgiving individually. As you pray, as you contemplate, as you interact, but we are called to cultivate thanksgiving as a people. Let's cultivate thanksgiving by remembering our motivation for it, by letting the gospel move us. Look, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, if you have not come to a place where you have seen your absolute dependence upon him, I urge you, repent, change your mind, see your need for him, give your life to him. He is a good father. He is a good shepherd. He loves you. Turn to him, come to him, and then let your heart be overflowing with thanksgiving, and let's cultivate that among us. This will require that we focus our thanksgiving on the right things. Focus your thanksgiving primarily on what God is doing in you and in others. Focus your thanksgiving primarily on what he is doing through you, and focus on your mind on what he is doing in all of your circumstances and give him thanks. And then finally, this will require that we determine in advance to trust the Lord in all things. This means getting before the Lord. And for me, it's daily. It's coming for him saying, Lord, today, help me resolve in my heart to praise you. There will be times where you'll look in the mirror, that is the rearview mirror, and you'll say, fell short. You know, therein is an opportunity for you to give thanks. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you, God, that you paid for that. Thank you, God, that you are a patient Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you still receive me as your son and nothing has changed in that. Praise God. Now, Lord, help my unbelief and help me resolve next time to give thanks. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you glory this morning. Lord, as we come off a week of Thanksgiving, it's only right that we pause to think about Thanksgiving. And Lord, as we think about this subject, Lord, thank you that you have given us the greatest of motivations to give thanks. That we are motivated most by what you've done, by who you are, by the manifestations of your compassion, your mercy, your kindness, your patience, your forgiveness, your justice. Oh Lord, may you help us in our own lives personally to cultivate thanksgiving, but help us as a church to be visibly noticeably thankful in our hearts, to be talking about what you've done and giving thanks. And Lord, help us to be praying for the right things and help us to be determining in our hearts in advance to give thanks in all things and to be helping one another, encouraging each other in this way. Lord, we pray in faith, giving you thanks that you've heard us and thanking you that you will accomplish all of your good purposes in us. And we pray in your name. Amen. Let's stand together. I think that as you contemplate the culture in which we live, probably one of the greatest things missing is gratitude. We live in a highly entitled, very self-focused generation and time, don't we? We have an opportunity as a church, as a people, to really stand out, to look differently than how the world looks, by an attitude, by a mindfulness of thanksgiving rooted and grounded in the gospel. Let's let this be something that proclaims the gospel and its truth as we are grateful and living that out in the world and speaking and proclaiming Christ to a world that is desperately in need of repentance and faith. Amen. Go in peace.